morning, I am going to be brief. Just don't clock me, but I'm going to be brief. But let me start with this morning. My wife is not with me and won't be back for a couple of weeks because she wanted to launch Ladies Bible Study, and we were looking at this week or next week, but she's not here, so we're going to delay it till October because we have a brand new little grand boy in our family. And so Banks Maverick Copeland joined us on Friday and came into world on that date. And so we're just celebrating with them. Now, don't ask me where Banks came from because I have no idea. I've seen the show Maverick, and I also know what's the flying Top Gun and Maverick on that. And I just hope the boy's not a Maverick, but his name is that. So, but Banks Maverick Copeland, and we're excited. That's Ashlyn's, our third child. So we're excited. But Tammy is down there because. Not that there were any major complications, but my girl did have a C-section, so Tammy's going to stay a little extra long just to help her get back on her feet since they have two kids that are 13 months apart. And so they need help. And so anyway, so we just want to celebrate and let you know what's going on in our lives that way. Let me ask before I go any further, is that everyone get a, if you did not get a cup, would you just lift your hand, usher, or make sure you get one? If you have one, that's okay, but if you didn't get one, raise your hand. A few over here. I will give them just a second. We have not had the privilege of partaking communion together since the whole COVID. We did one time on Zoom, but since we've been back, I've held off. And but today I wanted to make sure we focus on what Christ has done for us. I've asked the worship team to stay with me and as well, so there's others that are joining us. So just make sure you pick up. Did everybody get one? I might need to go to the other side. We're good over here? Oh, got one behind you. One more time. Balcony, you're all taken care of up there. I'm looking. Good. Thank you. We have not put our full usher force back in force or our greeter force because of all the mask and all of that. So just be patient. We're good. Rick, over on the other side. Anyone in this section, you're all good. In far section, he's coming by. Today, I just want to take a moment and talk about life in the bread and life in the blood. Last week, Pastor Bob started the story of the feeding of the 5,000, and he spoke about that. But following that story, Jesus tells the disciples, I want you to go across the lake, and they head to Capernaum. That story we have next is Jesus walking on the water and appears to them in the storm and all of that, and Peter walks on that water, and great story. But then the next thing we find is the people for the next day were looking for Jesus again. They were looking for the disciples. They had just been fed and full, but they're hungry again. And really, you're going to kind of hear this, these people really just wanted Jesus to feed them. In John 6:24, this is what we read. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got in the boats and went in to Capernaum just in search of Jesus. I don't know how many out of the 5,000 men, how many boats would that take to get across the lake, but somehow these people were saying, he fed us, we're going to find him, and we're going to let him keep doing this. And you're going to hear why their concept was that way. They were happy that Jesus fed them, but these people could only see the natural side of things and not really the spiritual things that Jesus was teaching. Verse 25, we read this, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Verse 28. Then they asked him, well, what must we do to do the works God requires? I want you to hear it from Jesus. We quote it so often from Paul that it's not works, lest any of us boast, right? But I want you to hear it from Jesus himself. Jesus answered in verse 29, the work of God is this. Everybody say it with me. To believe in the one he has sent. Say it again. To believe in the one he has sent. It is not about doing stuff. It is about believing in who he is. It's by faith. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? And they went on and said, our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who is giving you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. People were basically like, Moses supplied bread for the people, and I guess you did it once, so you're going to do it again for us. That's what's going to happen. Do another miracle for us and give us that bread. But hear what Jesus says next. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I don't know about to you, but it'd been like an odd thing to say because the crowd really is wanting more bread. And Jesus says, I am the bread. He's not only going to not give them what they're asking for because they want bread, he actually turns it into a teaching. And he says, I am the bread of life. Really what captures my attention in this passage in Jesus' statement is Jesus didn't say, I'm the giver of bread. He said, I am the bread. The problem is the crowd came looking for a natural bread that they could receive from him. That's what they wanted. They wanted the bread, not necessarily Jesus. In verse 49, Jesus continues to talk to him. He said, your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Church, Jesus makes several I am statements in the Bible. He says, I am the vine. I am the door. I am the light. Here he says, I am the bread. Jesus wasn't talking about some literal thing. He was making a point that he was the source. He was the truth. He was the way of life. And just like natural bread feeds our body and gives us substance and life, Jesus going to the cross gives his life so we could have eternal life. So we can have this spirit life within us. And that's why every time we take bread at communion, a wafer, Jesus wants you to remember it was his body that was offered for your salvation. At the Last Supper, if you can remember, Luke tells us this in verse 19, when he, talking of Jesus, took bread, he gave thanks and broke it and gave it to him, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Would you take the bread? There's just a top film coat that's clear. If you could pull that back first. Jesus was telling his disciples, every time you take communion, see, you have to understand what they had been doing up to this point was called Passover. And Passover went all the way back thousands of years to when they were delivered out of bondage in Egypt. And they had been practicing this. God gave them here's what you need to do to practice the Passover every year. And they were faithful at it. But that night, on that Passover, Jesus takes the bread. And he says, this is my body. It's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He has reminded us to remember what he did on the cross, but you need to remember his sacrifice. Church, Jesus gave his life so we could have life. He gave his life. He became sin, the Bible says. He took your sin, my sin, the sins of the world upon him so that your sin could be forgiven. He paid the penalty for your sin. Every one of us, especially those who have children, you know when they do something, there is some discipline that has to happen. Sometimes it's punishment of some sort that says you did that, you need to remember to not do that again. It's a remembrance is really what we're trying to get across. It isn't just punishment for it. It is correction called discipleship. Discipline in our life. And Jesus says, what we've been doing all these years as disciples, I am changing the discipline of what you've been doing because the bread for them was remembering what God provided then. Now I want you to remember me, what God has provided. The Messiah has come. And he said, I want you to do this until I come again. This morning we sit here as disciples, as believers in Jesus Christ, remembering his sacrifice, what he did. So I want you to take the bread and I want you to break it in remembrance that you gave your life. Heavenly Father, thank you. Your life for our life. Thank you for eternal life. And Lord, we receive by faith what you accomplished for us. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your life. Amen. Would you receive the bread? I want you to lift this song. Simple song, but it makes a powerful declaration. And I believe the confession of our mouth ought to be this confession that Jesus paid it all. Amen? I mean, did he pay part of it? Are you just half forgiven? Are you fully forgiven because of his sacrifice? I mean, church, I can say it all day long, but until you make that confession, until you begin to state, that's what you accomplished, and I believe it by faith. So would you lift these words this morning?
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray.
Find in me.
Find in me.
Find in Jesus.
Thine all in all.
So we declare.
That Jesus paid it all. It all to him I owe.
For
sin had left a crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed thy power and thine alone can change a leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. 'Cause Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
In Luke 22:20, Luke goes ahead and writes these words also and says, in the same way, after the supper he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Two quick thoughts about the blood of Jesus. First is this, The blood of Christ is precious because of its redemptive power. Church, do you realize that you are blood-bought people? Revelation 5:9 says this, and they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation." You have been redeemed, bought back. Paul puts it this way to the Colossians, and in Colossians 1:14, he says of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Church, Jesus' blood is precious because it has redemptive power. All of us were sinners, and you have been redeemed. You were on the shelf of sin, and God came along and said, "I'm paying for you for that sin so you can be redeemed." It's when you buy something off the shelf, you redeem it when you go buy it. Guess who it belongs to now? You. We have been redeemed. Who do you think we belong to? We belong to the Lord. Also, secondly, the blood of Christ is precious because of its overcoming power. Not just redemptive power to be able to save you, but now to let you live an overcoming life. Revelation 12, verse 10, the second part says, "For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to the earth, the one who accuses them before God day and night." Satan has been thrown down. But listen to verse 11. "And they have defeated him." How? "And by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony." Church, through the blood of Jesus and our confession of faith in him, Satan has been defeated. We can live with overcoming power. Jesus wants us to remember that. I don't know how often you go through life or go through the week and the enemy comes at you, accuses, and makes those statements again, deceives you into thinking you're not going to make it, you can't get through it, you're not strong enough. Jesus says, every time you take communion, remember you're an overcomer. We tend to forget that. I thought he paid it all. I thought it was all taken care of. And I'm living for him. And when I do sin, I confess that and say, "Lord, wash away." And he says he's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Church, we need to remember there is power in the blood of the Lamb. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, in the same way after supper he took the cup. Can you take the cup? Carefully pull that big tab. Say, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." The new covenant says that the covenant is by grace through faith. You're redeemed, you're saved. The old covenant was the law, and no one could live up to it. It only brought death. But this covenant brings eternal life. "The cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Church, I do not want to ever forget that I'm an overcomer. Amen? Heavenly Father, I remember today. You have redeemed me and you have caused me to be more than a conqueror. And so we remember it today, and we'll live it for you. Walk it out, think it, declare it, so that you can receive glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you receive the cup? Would you stand? I want you to lift this with me and make this declaration and praise. Say,
oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised us alive.
Come on, give
them
your
dead.
Praise today.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised us alive up from the dead.
How it's going to come out of you, but it could be a prayer, it could be just a confession, a declaration, but I'm remembering what he did. So I'll make mine, you make yours, and we're just going to thank him for what he's done. Father, I confess you as my Lord. I remember that you died for me, that you shed your blood for me, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin, but you paid it all for me, and I declare you as my master. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life. I bless you, I honor you, I adore you today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come into my home. Come into my life. Lord, bless our children and their children and their children. Oh, God, watch over your church. Lord, I pray for your blessing to reside in our homes. Lord, in our hearts, in our minds, Lord, in marriages, and Lord, among siblings, God, that your love would grow and expound and show itself in our homes. God, to you be the glory for what you've done, for you have lavished your love upon us. And so today we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Give him praise. We honor you, Lord. Church, there's life in the bread, which is his word. The word became flesh. And when he says, partake of that, partake of his word, and there's life in the blood. Church, it is eternal life. Amen? You don't know what to do. It's only 11:20. Well, I'm going to tell you what to do. You're going to live for Jesus because you have life in you. Amen? So God bless you and have a Jesus-filled week. Hey, next week we're starting into Habakkuk or Habakkuk or however you want to say it. So read chapter 1 this week, would you? Come prepared next week as we delve into the book of Habakkuk. It's 3 chapters. Chapter 1, read it. Come prepared for the word of God. Amen? God bless you.